Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Two Drink Minimum, the only podcast on the planet that is actively sending funds over to ISIS.
We are. We're raising money to fight the good fight.
Yeah. The gentleman in front of me doesn't need an introduction, but you know he's going to get one anyway, because it's Mike Ward.
I am Mike Ward. You are Pantelis.
That's me.
And our third mic this
Jamie
week.
Jamie Trudeau.
Justin's big brother.
Yeah.
Justin's mentor.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the man vying for Poseidon's job.
Poseidon, who is at home right now crying in his mom's apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. Just angry that he's not here. And he's not here on his own accord.
Yeah. He quit a job that he doesn't. But he didn't quit, did he?
He doesn't have the balls to quit. What he did is he tried to make us feel bad so that we'll go after him. Be like, no, we need you. You have to come back. And neither of us did that. We're like, all right.
Like, he wants us to be... You know how shitty that is? I didn't even know that's what he was trying to do. I was just like, oh, he's not here? Okay.
I realized right away, because last minute, he's like, oh, I can't. Something came up.
Nothing came up.
He missed this just thing in the morning, and then this. I know that nothing came up to take his entire day. He's just sleeping. He probably woke up really, though, angry, thinking like, oh, fuck. They haven't asked about me.
It's weird, though, because there were some episodes that after the show, I was like, oh, fuck. I think we might have lost him after this one.
Yeah.
But the last couple of shows, we were super nice to him.
Yeah.
We actually fucking brought him down to
Los
LA.
Angeles,
Fucking flew him back first class.
Yeah, and still.
And since he got the good life, first class fucked him.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes show business will change someone?
That's what happened.
Show business. He had been in show business for a minute and a quarter, and it changed him.
Somebody recognized him at the grocery store, apparently, a few days ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they told him, oh, you're Poseidon, right? Two drink minimum? And then he's like, yeah, yeah. And then the guy told him, I really like Pantelis. I look up to him. He's like, what about me? He's like, I know who you are.
Oh, that's so fucking funny.
Which is good and bad because it's a compliment, right? He got recognized. He got recognized, but the guy just said, like, I really like Pantelis. I look up to that guy. And it's like, what about me? He's like, I know who you are. That's enough. Like, I know.
Oh, fuck. That means, oh, he was really hurt by that.
I guess because he didn't show up for work.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a shit move, not showing up for work because someone recognizes you. And likes, like, because this show, it's normal that the person likes you more than him.
Yeah.
Because he just sits there and sometimes, and then he tells a story or tries to tell a story and then we shit on him and then he leaves.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah.
So it does make sense.
It'd be weird if someone saw him and they were like, I look up to you. Really? Yeah. I like the way whenever you try to tell your story, your friends call you stupid and make fun of you for an hour. There's something very...
There's something very appealing. I want to get to that level. Teach me.
No one else is doing that. Like, comedy right now.
That's his thing.
Yeah.
He's cornered that market.
Yeah. You know how fucking, Larry the Cable Guy had sort of the rednecks and Kevin Hart has the black energy.
He has the retards.
He has the retards. Who knew a guy named Poseidon wouldn't go after the Greeks? He'd go after the retards. He fucking tricked everyone.
Yeah, he tricked. Retards
are sneaky.
He went to the back door. Yeah. He pulled a Greek move. He's the Trojan horse of comedy. That's what he is.
Yeah. Fuck, I think we're going to get him back.
If we don't, though, I was discussing this earlier. If we don't, people are laughing because they're like, the way it's going, like the show's going, the podcast is doing better, this and that. If the podcast makes it really big, he's going to kill himself.
Yeah.
Because like, I had the easiest job. He doesn't edit. He doesn't contribute anything. No news story. He just has to be there while we make one of his stupid stories. And that's it. Best job on the planet. And he still fucked it up.
I like the thing you guys did for this just thing.
We replaced him.
You just replaced him with someone that you called Poseidon.
Yeah. Because I own the rights. I'm the one who gave him the character of Poseidon, right?
So you got an Asian guy?
Yeah.
And named him Poseidon.
That's it. We said this. We never addressed that it's a different person, that he's filling in.
And this Asian guy is like 5'2" and 111 pounds.
Super Asian. Super Asian. It's like full-blown Chinese.
Yeah. We should send Poseidon a court order telling him he can't use Poseidon anymore. His name now is Vic Wong.
It's funny because we're pulling a Vince McMahon. That's what he had done in wrestling when Razor Ramon and Diesel left to go to WCW. He's like, oh, that's fine, but I own the names and the characters of Razor Ramon and Diesel. So what he did was he got two other wrestlers to dress up as them and be them for a while. They were fake Diesel and fake Razor. Really? It was just so ridiculous. But he's like, I own the names, so you guys have to pick other names.
I remember like that. The only, and this was about the same generation when Bret Hart left, and then he had the midget Bret Hart.
Yeah,
I remember the midget Bret Hart. So it was just, and he didn't even call him a midget. So it was just Bret Hart. But then there was a midget dressed up like Bret Hart.
And that's what we did basically.
Yeah. Oh fuck! We should get a midget in to be Poseidon.
Yeah. Where do you find those?
There's actually, I know an agent. There's a guy in Montreal that all he does is he specializes in freaks. And so he's got midgets. He's got, you know, it's all like circus type people, like women with beards and a dude with no legs. So things that you tell yourself, this can't be legal in 2018. Really? But this guy, he's called Adam Saint-Cœur.
Do they speak English? You're telling me we could have an, like assorted freaks that we could bring in
the
show?
We could probably. Like if we asked them, we should get Jason a call.
Yeah.
And try to find, they definitely have at least one English
speaking
little
freak.
Person.
Oh, just it would be good if we have the small, the midget. And we still refer to him as Poseidon.
Yeah.
And then we have segments where like small talk with Poseidon.
Small talk with Poseidon. Or we measure his dick and then tell people how the midget's dick is bigger than Poseidon's dick.
Oh, he's losing his mind right now.
And I know this agency does like they it's kind of like everything that's wrong in the world, this guy books.
Oh,
like,
really?
You know, like he had gotten in
aborted
trouble a
fetuses.
Couple years ago. No, but like when the midget tossing was a thing.
It's he was doing fucking dwarf tossing.
He was doing yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
fun.
Like, I have a friend that was in, he used to be a bartender, and in his bar, like, every year, they did this 2 years, Valentine's Day, they'd get midgets and dress them up like Cupid, and so they'd just be dancing on the bar, and then my friend would get drunk and then put the midgets in the garbage. And I was like, that's such a mean,
that is
shitty thing to do.
And yet hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious, but very mean.
Very mean. Did the midgets know they were going to the trash?
No, but they found out.
After they were in the trash?
Yeah, after they were in the
that's
trash.
That's one way of finding out.
Yeah.
I wonder how Poseidon's going to feel when he finds out that we replaced
yeah.
him with trash.
Yeah. Yeah, so this we should get the midget in this.
In the trash
in
can?
In the trash can, yeah.
That'd have to be a really small midget. That's a pretty small trash can.
It is a small trash can.
But it is a small midget.
I think, though, yeah, we could, yeah, so we should get, maybe not a midget, but maybe, we'll ask who they have that's the slowest adult they have.
The slowest adult.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, you guys already own him.
Yeah.
I'll be like, touche, sir. Yeah. Touche. You know what I saw? I saw that
you
in...
You already own
I saw that in... did you see the riots in France?
Yeah, I did.
So isn't it strange that they're rioting because they don't want to pay that extra carbon tax? But when Trump refused to join that Paris Climate Agreement, right? He's like, I'm not paying taxes for you fucking scumbags. It's not my problem. They called him an asshole, right? And he's
yeah.
like anti-global warming and anti, you know, all that shit. Anti-climate help or whatever the fuck. So when Trump said no to paying other people's bills, he was a bad guy. But now that they were asked to do what they asked him to do and he didn't want to, and they're refusing to, they're burning the fucking...
Yeah.
They're burning the whole city down.
I don't think, though, the French people wanted to ask Trump. I think it's just Macron. I think that what's happening in France is... that means the next government is going to be very hard right.
That's what I think, yeah.
Yeah. That's what's so fucking crazy about the world. People are always like, how the fuck did Brexit happen? It's because the left goes too far and then
yeah.
people just go fuck off.
We
got to
pull
come
this back.
Yeah. yeah. And the same, as soon as it goes too hard right, then people go, this is fucking crazy. And then it goes left.
Yeah. That's actually exactly it. And that's what's happening now with us.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, how did this person win? How did that happen? People get fed up. All across Europe, right-wing parties are now winning a lot.
Yeah.
Because they're putting a new rule. So the whole migrant act that they're trying to push even Canada to accept, and as if Canada's a fucking European nation. It's not. All across Europe, a lot of countries they're like, fuck this shit. We can't handle this anymore, right? It's causing a lot of problems in our countries. So now they're trying to pass a law in Europe that says it's a hate crime and it's illegal to criticize the immigration pact.
Oh, really?
Which is insane to render basically criticism illegal. And that's what they're trying to do. It's fucking crazy, dude. And especially guys like us that we're all about free speech. That's fucked. You saying... that's stupid. Yeah. You know, we can't handle any more immigrants. Could land you in jail. It's a hate crime.
Did you see the wife of Raifa Badawi? I don't know how you say his name in English.
No,
Raif.
I know who you're talking about, but no, what she did.
She tweeted something, and then she got suspended from Twitter for a day because what she said was illegal in Pakistan.
What?
But she lives in Quebec. She doesn't know anyone that lives in Pakistan. But since it's illegal in Pakistan, Twitter was like, "You can't say this." And plus, like she was criticizing Islam, but she's a
Muslim, no?
Not anymore. I don't think you can't be Muslim anymore after all the shit that happened to her husband. But she might still be Muslim. But whether she is or whether she isn't, if someone could fucking talk shit about Islam, it's someone that's husband is in prison for talking shit about Islam.
Yeah.
Like, agreed. She has a real reason to fucking hate governments that are controlled by religion.
Did you see what the message I sent you yesterday? How Facebook took down my post that I shared. I shared a Ben Shapiro post of that woman, Loomer, what's her name? Loomer, the lady who got kicked off of Twitter. Because she questioned why is Farrakhan still on there and all the shit that he said. So basically, she stated some facts about Islam, and she got her account taken away. This guy says that they should kill all Jews, and he's fine.
Yeah.
Right? So if you say anything against Islam or against the establishment, you're in trouble. But if you come after anyone else and you're from the side of Islam, it's fine. That's what they're showing.
Yeah.
So she went to the Twitter head office in New York, not the Santa Monica ones, but New York, and she handcuffed herself in front of the door. She put up pictures of what the tweets that she had and what Farrakhan said. That was fine to be on Twitter. And that was her protest. Nonviolent. Just, she is a crazy person too. But I mean, what she did was, when the media is making Antifa out to be good guys, right? When they're out beating the shit out of people, okay? Innocent people. A lot of innocent people get beat up because they just see them in the way, because they're just angry kids that don't know. So that's fine in the media's eyes. But her, as crazy as she is, peacefully protesting was a problem. So Ben Shapiro, when it happened, shared a post, had an article, and all it was just updates of what she was doing. So I shared that, and the title was just wow, like that's what he wrote. And then the title of the actual article was what was happening, like Loomer is outside of. So there was nothing offensive about it.
And they got rid of that?
They said, they said that goes against the Twitter guidelines, the Facebook guidelines.
Oh, really?
But what goes against Facebook? They were reporting on something. They didn't make a comment either or. They didn't say anything anti-Islamic. They were reporting. And it's fucked up because they told me that goes against their guidelines. And what went against their guidelines was somebody talking about how they have their own weird set of rules about what you can and can't say and how they're controlling speech. And how they're becoming huge censors. So they just furthered her point.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I was like, really? And in my feed, dude, I've seen the riots in Paris, actual violent protests. Those are not a problem. Yeah. People keep fucking posting those fucking videos of animals getting skinned.
Yeah.
Because they promote you to not eat meat or whatever. All it does is make me angry, you know? So animals getting killed, slaughtered, that's fine for Facebook. But if you say, hey, there's a woman protesting outside saying that she's not entitled to her version of free speech on Twitter, but someone else who hates her is, that goes against your guidelines. It's absurd.
Yeah.
They're setting this weird fucking precedence.
I think, though, free speech, we lost it fucking like 15 years ago.
Really, yeah?
Yeah, it's weird that, it's... Because it used to be when everyone was for free... Because everyone has to be for free speech or else there's no chance of us having free speech because everyone's like, I'm for free speech, but...
The second you say but, go fuck yourself.
Because you have to be for people that you fucking hate.
Yeah.
You have to be, if you hear something and you go, that's so fucking stupid, you have to let that person say whatever the fuck the
they
stupid
thing is. They
want,
and then shit on them.
Yeah, because generally that's the best way to convince people to be on your side, is seeing how fucking stupid the other side is.
Yeah.
But they're not, they're just, everyone's, it was at first, well, it's mostly the left that's censoring the right, but the right now is starting to do the same thing. And I think that's no one should censor anyone.
No, I agree with you. That's why I think it's going to be comics. It's going to be the few comics that just have it up to here.
I'm happy, though, now that there's a thing. And you're the first person I heard talk about this. But I'm seeing that it's becoming a thing about making comedy funny again.
Yeah.
And I think people are sick of the whole being PC all the time. And
I wrote it. The reason why I wrote that is because I noticed that right before we had went on Rogan, when I had noticed that, remember we were looking at the numbers, and before we even did Rogan, before it was even announced, our numbers were going high on iTunes. It was in the 20s or whatever, remember? Yeah. And then the Rogan push helped it as well. But I remember right before that, I was like, people are, Twitch and Minimum in the beginning, like, oh, these guys are, in the beginning when we first started doing it, like, what the fuck, they're talking about rape, they're talking about this, they're making jokes about it. But then I was like, no, look at that. Now people are turning the corner, right? And then I started getting private messages. And even the stuff on Twitter when people are like, oh, I'm just glad that you're beating X person. I'm glad that you're beating Trevor Noah because he's garbage. I'm glad that you're beating this. So then all the stuff that people are happy with us about and are mad at are the same things. They're happy because we're just being honest and no restrictions, just having a good time. Our end goal is to laugh. That's it.
Yeah.
We're not trying to sway anyone politically. And the people that they're happy that we're beating are all shitty, fake, super left people that want to censor any opposing speech.
Yeah.
So the reason I wrote that is because I see that more and more people want just funny. They don't want politics. They just want funny. And there's even people now coming out with gaming websites. There's a guy, Jeremy, he's pretty big on Twitter and on YouTube. He does a thing called The Quartering, and he does daily video updates. And he's kind of same thing, like free speech, a bit more towards the right, but center right, let's say. And he's been fighting SJWs for a while now. An SJW punched him in the face at an event. Said, "Are you Jeremy?" He's like, "Yeah." And he punched him in the face.
Oh, really?
And then he got in trouble. At first, they were trying to suspend him for getting attacked.
For getting punched in the face.
It's so fucking crazy. So this guy, what he did is, because he loves games and he loves board games, all that shit. So what he said is he can't handle the politics anymore because politics kept and these identity politics kept getting involved in all his gaming. So he liked Magic the Gathering. The Magic the Gathering creators and all that were basically changing the wording to appease certain people, changing the way the game works to appease certain people. He's like, what the fuck's going on? Same thing with video games. Like Ubisoft had this whole thing where, I don't know if I told you this, but it was here in Montreal too, Ubisoft, where they had a quota. They needed to bring in more visible minorities and things like that. So it came out, they had...
On screen or back...
A screen came out, like a video that they had made of just different races being there. And then emails had leaked of like recruiters saying crazy shit like, oh, we got a black one, things like that, which... Then it's clearly racist.
Okay, yeah, for the employees. I thought you meant like in the
game. Oh, in the game, yeah, they're doing that. They've been doing that for a while. That's why now you could pick a woman or a man. You could go gay, straight, trans, whatever. So they were doing that. Now imagine if you're an employee there and you got a new job. You've been there for 4 months and you're, let's say, black. And imagine you hear like, oh, fuck. The only reason why I'm here.
I got here is because I'm black.
Yeah, like that fucks your head. That's dirty to do that shit to people. Yeah. So what he's doing is he took matters into his own hands. He's doing like a Indiegogo. And he's starting a new site. He already started building it. There's screenshots out there. It's almost ready. It's going to be ready after the holidays. Called, I think, Simply Gaming or Just Gaming or some shit like that. Exclusively games. Just to focus on non-politics. Just what he likes, which he likes video games, right? And all that stuff. So people who like that stuff can go to that site without being worried about being called a racist, a transphobe, because they like games to just be games. So people are taking shit into their own hands, matters into their own hands. And just like podcasting, like us, you know, a lot of stuff that we see and do, we get fed up. Yeah. I've been watching Owen Benjamin. I've been watching some of his videos, and I actually feel bad for Owen Benjamin because a lot of his so-called friends, like in L.A., comics that he went on their shows and stuff, shit on him as soon as he left.
Yeah.
And they would call him racist and stuff like that when they know he's not a racist.
His wife's Mexican, I think.
Yeah, but it's not even that. It's just him. He's never done anything racist because in one of his bits, he had the word nigger in it, but it all led to Trudeau. He was just making fun of Trudeau. That was the whole thing.
I remember that bit though. But the problem with that bit, it wasn't really funny.
Yeah, that was
you have to, like, I used to use the, I had the N-word in one of my jokes, and the joke was really good, so it would work.
Yeah.
And I hate people that say the joke's really good and then say the joke. It's going to be garbage now when I say it. But I had a thing. The first time I went to Toronto, I was part of the ethnic series.
Right.
And I remember telling the people, I was like, I'm part of the ethnic series. And they were like, yeah, well, you know, you're kind of French, so French is ethnic. And I was like, really? And then it was all, like, all black people and brown people and a couple, like a Chinese lady and me. So I was like, this is fucking crazy. But then I was like, this is the best. I was like, oh, fuck, I'm ethnic. And then, so I told that story on stage. And then when I did my thing about the R word, and I was like, the only word we shouldn't be allowed to use is the N word. The only word that whites shouldn't be allowed to say is the word nigger. And then people would always go like, fuck. And I go, I can use nigger because I'm ethnic. And that got a really good laugh. But, you know,
funny.
It was an actual joke. It wasn't just saying the word nigger.
Yeah, so I think that's what got him. But you knew. Here's the thing. You can say, like what you just said. It wasn't funny. It could have been funnier. That's fine.
Yeah.
But to just be like, oh, he used that word. He made that sound with his mouth. He's a racist.
Him. Yeah, no.
And also friends of his, people that he's...
Yeah, that's so stupid.
That's so stupid. So I saw some of his videos of him talking on YouTube, and I felt bad for him because he's been kicked off Twitter. He's and his own friend. Like, I was like, "What the fuck, his friends, man? Like, that's so fucking dirty. Like, what scumbags?"
I think that's a very LA thing. Everyone, like, not everyone. There are a lot of really good people.
But there's a lot of disloyal.
But there's a lot of fucking pieces of shit out there that they'll pretend that they're your friend, and as soon as they don't need you anymore, fuck you.
They get rid of you.
Yeah,
because that's what happened. I think because he became persona non grata. But he's been ripping Rogan a lot. It's been hilarious.
Yeah. I really enjoy watching him. He's very angry.
Yeah, you've been checking him out?
Yeah. Very angry. And I like him. I like him as a dude. I think he's very funny. And he's like, he's very funny, very angry. And he's very productive. Like, he works a lot. Like, he's always got new material.
Yeah, he's very good. Wait, are we, because we're going to, in January, I think we're going to be back in New York, right?
Yeah, at the end of January.
We're doing Kumia on a Thursday. We're leaving Thursday night or Friday morning, right?
I have a show...
Saturday.
Friday night.
No, you have Saturday, right?
I have Friday and Saturday. And it's a big show. And since there's...
Oh, I thought you had Saturday.
No, so I'd have to Thursday leave night, on Thursday.
Just to be safe.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say, if we were going to stay there on Friday and do the show live from there, we could have told him from now and maybe have him come down because he wants to fly anywhere to do shows.
Okay.
So it would have been cool to have
him
as a guest.
We should get him in Montreal.
If he wants to come, yeah.
And then either like produce a show to so he can make a bit of money.
Yeah, do some stand-up.
Because he never really plays in Canada.
No.
And he'd have a big crowd here.
Yeah.
I think, too, with like the he's on Crowder a lot, and Crowder's really big, mostly more in Quebec City than in Montreal because we're very left leaning here.
Yeah,
but there's still a lot of Crowder fans.
We should
Montreal.
Talk to him.
Yeah,
we could bring him back. We could start doing a Two Drink Minimum Presents and bring comics that we like.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't want it to cost me. Like, I don't want to lose money.
Yeah, obviously, we're not going to bring in like an open micer from Houston and hope he sells tickets.
Yeah.
We're bringing people that we know are going to make money, like people that...
We can do those since I have 20 nights at Club Soda.
Well, you still don't know what to do with all of them, right?
Well, I still... Like, I'm doing my French show all 20 nights, but I book the shows. I'm always doing the show at 7 or 9:30, so I can add another show either at 7 or 9:30.
That's hilarious.
So, and I just did that just to see if it was going to sell like crazy. And so we're going to add maybe 10 shows. So I still have like 10 nights.
To fuck around with.
And that's when we're going to do the Comedians of the Compound.
Yeah.
But we could do, Two Drink Minimum Presents.
And we could bring in guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't even have to perform. Yeah. We can literally just MC it and bring on a really good name.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure Owen would do that.
Yeah, I think we should reach out. This is smart. You guys are hearing this for the first time. So are we, right? We're just talking about it. Yeah. This is where ideas happen. The reason why I like doing Two Drink Minimum, and I think why people like listen to it, is because it's we don't have a script.
We don't know where the fuck we're going.
We don't know where the fuck we're going. And we just talk.
Now we can get ideas out there without having fucking dum-dum slow us down.
Yeah, because Jamie's really good about that. He's letting us flow.
He is. He's not fucking talking about his stupid horse. His stupid horse. No, but you know, it's weird saying that. Now I feel shitty. I feel bad.
I feel bad for him now.
Yeah, I just called Poseidon dum-dum, and I feel bad for that.
You know, he's working. He's doing his job.
I really like that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel bad that he feels bad, but at the same time, I am angry that he's trying to manipulate us emotionally.
Yeah.
I never liked people who are like, feel bad for me, mm-hmm. huh?
I have two dogs. One of them is really smart. One of them is really stupid. And they both try to manipulate me. And the smart one, it works a lot. But the dumb one, my little Boston Terrier, is so fucking stupid. And we get the other one clean, like whenever they go outside to pee, as soon as they get back in, we'd give them a treat. So a lot of the times, I knew the dogs weren't peeing for real, but they'd go, and the smart one will go around the house so I can't see him, and then he'll come back. He'll get a treat. But the dumb one, sometimes she goes out, and she stands in front of the door that is just windows and just stands there and just, you know, looks to the side and then, like, barks. I open the door, and then she's waiting for a treat. And I'm like, you're so fucking stupid. Just walk over there. Like, I wouldn't.
The Poseidon of dogs.
Yeah. But she, that's what I love about seeing someone that, because to manipulate someone, you have to be smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to be smarter than the person you're manipulating.
No, but you have to have.
You have to have sort of.
Some cunning.
Yeah. Some sort of a game plan.
Yeah, he's got nothing. So here, I'll tell you where it stems from. This is going to be a good story, too. Why I don't like people trying to emotionally manipulate me. So back in the day. You know how you like my back in the day stories? There was, I'm gonna show you a video after this. You're gonna die of laughter. I might just share it with the crew after if I could download a copy. So because it's like an old YouTube account that's like it's private now or whatever. But there was a guy who I used to fuck with. He was a friend. He was part of the crew, but not really. He was kind of on the outskirts. We used to call him the bird because that's what we called him because his last name in Greek means bird. And he, yeah, so the bird, and he was a bit of a weirdo, and he had. He was a good kid, but he was a little. He had hearing aids on his ears. He couldn't hear well. It actually sucks because when he was young, because he kept saying like "eh," whenever his parents were asking him because he couldn't hear, they thought he was a retard and they put him in a school for retards.
Oh shit!
So for years, until they realized that he just needed hearing aids, so that fucked up his growth, right? Because he
God
hung out
damn.
With retards. So whatever. That the sad part is out of there. But he's an adult. He's older than me. He's like 5-6 years older than me. So what he used to do is I used to fuck with him a bit, and he used to always try to make me feel bad for him. He used to put his head down, and he's an old guy who's 5-6 years older than me, and he'd be like, "Oh, all right, okay, it's cool. I'm just gonna go home," and it just makes you. And I would hate that. I go, "Why is he trying to manipulate me?" You know. So what happened to him was we used to hang out at the cafe where Poseidon was spewing his guts yesterday, and what I used to do to him is he had one hearing aid that was really important to hear, and I would sometimes just talk to him like this, and then just stop talking like with my voice, and he would think his hearing aid was fucking up. So I would just be like, "Yeah," and then I told him. Doesn't even know. And he would just be like fucking with his hearing aid. Right? So I was fucking him a lot like that. And then sometimes I would sneak up behind him and push the button when he didn't know. And he would like freak out because he thought he just lost his hearing.
So fucking cruel.
Dude, it gets
so
worse.
Cruel.
So I would fuck with him fuck a lot, right? So, look at you. You're like, oh my God, that's rude. Yeah, it was mean. But he was a bit of a cunt. So I would fuck with him, but I didn't want anything bad to happen to him. I just, you know, riffing with dudes, you know? So then what happened was he, when I first started making videos, like I was able to edit a bit, like fucking 10, 15 years ago, we had recorded a video of him. I'll show it to you later of like To Catch a Predator. It looked like he was getting caught on To Catch a Predator, trying to fuck kids, right? And I had posted on YouTube and like everybody saw it in like the neighborhood and people that knew him and they started freaking out. So he shut off his phone.
Did they know that it was a joke or they thought it was real?
Some people thought it was real. Some people thought it was a joke. But he was so embarrassed that he kind of was hinting that he's going to kill himself or whatever. So people were calling me.
Shit.
But it was just a way to guilt me into going to find him. And people were blaming me. I was going to kill himself. I was like, he's not going to kill himself. And he didn't, right? It was just a way to guilt me into it. So
I would have loved if that story ended. And he did, but who knew?
Well, he did, but later. I'll tell you what. No. So what happened was my buddy was having a birthday party. Again, this is my buddy who now is getting married in a year. This was his like ex. We were still kids at her house. And I made him a DVD. Basically, what I did is
How old were you at this time? You were like 17?
Yeah.
He was like in his
25, 20s. 26.
Ugh, what a fucking loser.
So he was invited to the birthday party also. And I had made a CD for my buddy. And what I did for his CD is, because I was making fun of him and his always being clingy to his girlfriend. So I made a montage of him and his girlfriend. Like a romantic montage that a girl will think, oh, that's cute. But a guy is like, oh my God, it's so stupid. That kind of shit. Because to me, it's hilarious. So, but it was fun. People liked it. Like all the women that were there, like, that's so adorable. And all the guys were like, that's the stupidest, gayest shit I've ever seen in my life. So that happens. And as soon as it ended, I had a second clip, which was that video to Catch a Predator. But I didn't know, because basically I put two separate clips on the DVD. You should normally click on it, but it played autoplay right after the first one. So the entire family of that girl and everybody's there. And he's there. They don't know him.
They just see a pedophile.
I was like, dun, 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 dun. They see a pedophile on screen and they start freaking out. And he's like, oh, he panics, runs out and goes and hides in their basement bathroom for like an hour with the lights off.
What a fucking loser.
Yeah, he fucked around like that. So he it took a lot of convincing. And then he's like, I want somebody to take me home because we were far in West Island.
I want someone to take
me home. I want one of you kids to take me home. So it was pretty bad. And then he didn't talk to me for years. And then I would see him from time to time. And it'd be like, he'd start to like open up a bit. But he hated me.
Do you think we could get him on the show?
I don't know. But he's an interesting cat. He had a good job somewhere at a restaurant. Like, it was pretty good. It was paying well. And then he quit to become a part-time stock boy. It's at like a little store.
What was he doing at the restaurant?
Like washing dishes, but he was like the head washer.
So. Good job. Because you can't have a good job, like if
you're not waiting tables at a fine restaurant.
And plus, like you don't want like it's weird having a deaf guy be your waiter in a restaurant.
What? These fucking kids keep fighting. So then he went to, instead he had a full-time dishwashing job, and then he took a part-time stocking shelves job, and then because he was too demanding at the shocking, like he was just being annoying over there, they fired him. So then he was unemployed for like the longest time. So I was like, wow, that was a really shitty career choice. Anyways, so I'll tell you why.
Does he live with his mom?
No, he's not like Poseidon, he's independent. Okay. He had his own apartment.
So this guy, fucking no job.
Better than Poseidon.
No hearing has a better life than Poseidon.
Let me tell you something funny about him.
So, and people think he's a pedophile.
And people thought he was a pedophile,
And he's still made out better.
I used to always, I love to hook people up. If I'm able to hook you up, I like hooking people up. So remember when I used to work at EA?
Yeah.
So years ago, I used to work at Electronic Arts, video games. And I was able, like, they were hiring testers to do some really simple tasks, and they were paying pretty well at the time, right? And you're basically playing video games and reporting on them all day. So I figured, get you out of those stocking the shelves, you know, and in a fun job. And I'm telling you right now, I have witnesses. I'm not making up a word of this because it sounds fake when I tell it to you. Because I was telling you recently, I was like, fuck, it sounds unbelievable. So I brought him in for an interview. The hiring manager, I spoke to him. He was my buddy. I go, listen, my buddy's coming in. Do everything you can. It's like, dude, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I can to get your friend a job. Don't worry about it. So we bring him in. I'm like, hey, man, you know, go in that room. You're going to do some tests. First thing is, he's in a room with posters, video game posters around him, and he has to write certain stuff, like simple, like what's your favorite video game, what's the last game you've ever played, just to get to know his personality. He wrote as his favorite game Tetris, okay? Now here's the crazy part. He misspelled Tetris, he put two T's in the second, but the poster of Tetris was right in front of him, like where that Mike Ward two-drink minimum thing is behind you, to me, that's where it was. It was in front of him and he misspelled it, okay? He misspelled Tetris. They were asking him questions like, where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years, okay? And he said, I don't know, you know, like, it depends. I'm very, you know, I've had a lot of different, you know, education routes. Like, I still haven't finished my high school and stuff. And, like, you know, sometimes I like to go to the train station. And I don't take the train, but I like to watch it. Like unrelated to anything. Oh, unrelated to anything. And dude,
what
the
creep.
And my buddy George was like, dude, I am trying so hard. He goes, but there's no way I could justify
this. At least he did, because he's this close to talking about suicide. Yeah. When you see yourself in 5 years. 5 years is a long way away.
Yeah. So no,
I go to the train station, it'd be so easy.
And then on his CV, he wrote stuff like, from time to time, I like to go to the train station and watch trains come in because I like punctuality and order. Like weird things like that. Like one of his skills was I'm able to install Windows on a Mac. Like just
fucking
crazy shit. Oh, also he likes to volunteer. This is the thing that made him sound like a pedophile. But he didn't. You know when something's coming from a good place? In the CV it wrote he likes to do a lot of volunteer work, especially if it involves children. Yeah. This written poorly. Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's written poorly. And then never been convicted of any of the sex crimes that I was accused of. Okay, now
did he write that?
Yes. Oh, listen.
What a fucking. Oh, shit. We need to get that guy.
Here's
on
the best part about this. The best part about this is I asked him, I go, dude, was this like in law? Like you were accused of something, you went to jail? He's like, no. It was just in the workplace. Like they said, I did something, but it wasn't true. And like, so why would you mention it?
Yeah.
Don't put it on there. There's no way they could find it. It's not even a legal thing. Don't mention it. And he's like, no, I'm mentioning it just in case somebody would say something. I'm like, oh,
you fucking dummy.
Also, I wrote like, I love to read when books are available. Like, when are they not available? Like in China, like it's fucking the whole CV read like a joke.
And if you make spelling mistakes, you should never write that you love to read because you look like a fucking idiot,
dude. It was like the guy George was like, dude, I'm trying my best. He goes, but I've never seen a score this low on the written. He goes, the written, you can't fail the written. The written's just about you. He goes, and this guy failed something you can't fail at. He goes, it doesn't make any sense. He goes, and his CV says like, I love learning new skills in dairy. He goes, I don't know what that means. What does it mean, new skills in dairy? Is it a typo? I love learning new skills in dairy. He goes, what does that mean?
Like, he probably meant like every day, daily, or
I love learning new skills and dairy.
And dairy. It doesn't, so that means he likes milk and cheese?
It doesn't make any sense. And then here's the best part.
Skills. What do you like? I like two things. Learning and cheese.
Dude, it was so fucked up. And then he had a whole section where it was previous jobs, right? And he wrote a lot of volunteer work. And his volunteer work was questionable. Like even I questioned it after. I was like, you don't volunteer there. So he had volunteer work. And some was like working with like schools and stuff and help, which was cool. But some volunteer work was like, Scotty Volvo, Canadian Tire, Walmart, this and that. And he had like weeks or days or whatever. So then,
why do you volunteer?
But that's the thing.
At Volvo.
So here's the best part. So this is when they said we can't hire him, okay? Because they only questioned, I think, Walmart or Canadian Tire, one of the two big chain stores. They're like, how did you volunteer? What does this mean? And then he goes, oh, it's very simple. He goes, I wanted a job there. So I started going there day after day, stocking shelves and doing stuff. And then they fucking kicked me out. They wouldn't let me. So I volunteered. So I volunteered my time for days. But they wouldn't hire me. And the guy was like, yo, we can't hire this motherfucker. He seems unstable. He seems crazy. But he was just dumb. He just didn't know how to articulate properly.
We need to get this guy on the show. Like, for real.
I'm scared that he'll kill himself after getting made fun of.
You think?
Yeah. That's why I don't...
On air or off air?
I think on air would hurt him. But, dude, how crazy.
No, but because I think we're human enough and nice enough that he wouldn't notice.
Maybe. Maybe, because he had a lot of that kind of shit. But, dude, love learning new skills in dairy.
Dairy. That's a weird
And I tried thing. To look at that CV. Oh, dude, I did a bit about this. In the first, this is the crazy thing, my closing bit in 2013, I read his CV. That was my closing bit.
Okay.
I read, you're not going to believe this, and I took it out of my pocket, and my closing bit was his CV. And people just died, like, of laughter, because I read it, like, not in order. Because if you read it not in order, it's even funnier. Because I talked about how at one point he writes in there, is able to work without adult supervision. But he also wrote that he hasn't been convicted of any of the sex crimes he was accused of.
So like, and how, like, he was in his 20s. So why like would you write if you're 30? You can trust me even without an adult watching me. That's something you write, like, when you're fucking 11 years old. What a fucking weirdo. And the cheese thing, coming back to the dairy thing, you could actually write that and not look like a weirdo if you wrote like things that you like. I like cheese. I like pasta. Yeah. I like food and wine, especially cheese and pasta. That works. You don't look like a weirdo. But you can't write. I like bettering myself and fish sticks.
Like a completely, and he wrote idiot. Stuff that sounded like a joke, but apparently he said that they sounded different in his head. He said like 50% of the time I'm never late, but
the fuck that means he's late half the
time.
That's
what I explained to him. I go, this says you're late half the time. He goes, no. What I'm saying is like guaranteed at least half the time I'm never late. He goes, but I'm usually not late. I'm like, but why'd you? Yeah. You wrote it like you're late half the time. Like it doesn't. Fuck, like in his head, he thought that he could be like, okay, so I guarantee that at least half the time I'm never late. And if he meant like if I'm late, it's by a minute or something. It goes, but it never happens. But the way he wrote it made it sound like he's either fucking around or he's late half the time and he's just letting you know.
And does he like when you talk to him? Does he seem retarded?
Yeah, he seems retarded. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But how hard would it be to get this guy on the show?
It wouldn't be super hard, but it would be mean. It would be mean because we'd be taking advantage.
I know, but how hard would it be?
It might be a little difficult. He won't trust me anymore because the whole video from back in the day.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, he won't trust. Because I also made him sign a contract back then. I was like a child, and I wrote up a contract, and I made him sign it so that I
like owned a waiver?
Yeah.
Oh, what? God damn, he's so gullible.
Yeah.
We could get him maybe if you told him if he volunteered on this show, he could get a job at one of the radio stations. You could tell him that this is like
a stepping stone.
Name one of the stations of Montreal. Like this is Shom FM. Okay, oh God. You volunteer with us for 2 weeks, and Terry DeMonte might hear you,
hire you,
and he'll put you on Shom FM.
Oh, the CV, I remember, and people weren't believing me when I was doing it on stage. People were like, oh, you made that CV up, and I go, no, it was my buddy who couldn't get a job where I was working because of the CV and also his performance. Like, it's funny, man. My buddy George from then, because he's like, dude, I've never seen you can't fail the written. He goes, it's just about you,
and he
failed the written. He goes, like, none of it is acceptable. He goes, he misspelled Tetris, and he was looking at the poster. He goes, it's like he came in to troll us.
And plus, like, that's the type of job. I think that, like, being a weirdo isn't a deal breaker
exactly.
To test games.
Not at all. So, it's full of weirdos.
So he has to fucking, what, that guy's the best. Yeah, you should actually maybe do send out an apology and then nothing else.
And wait.
And then when he reaches back, go, hey, I have a thing. Like, almost, like pretend like you're doing a, I don't know if you knew, pretend like you have a drinking problem. And
I gotta apologize to everyone that
I'm at step number four, whatever the apologizing step is.
You know why I have to find that CV? I have to find old emails or whatever because towards the end of it, he writes like a hobbies thing, like of what he likes to do in the description. But he goes off on, have you ever, basically, you know, stuff that you say, but then you're not going to write down, you could just delete. He said his thoughts. He talked about how he would like to join the Sea Organization, you know, with the Seamen are, you know, the Sea Organization where you like Sea Org and you help around like Merchant Marine.
Okay.
That kind. So he wrote something about hanging out with Seamen. But not sexually, just like Seamen from the Sea. He wrote this whole thing about how he would like it because he would get to see the world and all that. And then he goes, but actually, you know, I get seasick. So on second thought, I wouldn't do that. But he wrote a paragraph on doing it. And then he wrote that on second thought because of seasickness, it might not be the best idea, so I won't do it. But that's a thought you have in your head. You delete that. You don't leave it in there. They don't need to know that.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We should. Yeah, fuck. Poor him. He sounds. I think we should still try to get him on, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think we should go.
He's
like,
been through a lot. I feel bad now.
We're looking for, like I've since the beginning, I like having a third mic that's a bit of a weirdo. And I realize that I've, like, the way I've lived my life, I've sort of thrown out all the weirdos I had.
Yeah, me
too.
That
were close to me.
Except for Poseidon.
But since you're younger.
I still have a couple.
You still have a couple. Whereas, like, I'm in my 40s, so all the weirdos.
They're
like,
filtered
I can't
out,
yeah. call a guy that, hey, remember when we were 17 and I used to pull your pants down when there were girls? Do you want to be on my podcast? That won't work.
I honestly, I'll try, but I don't think he'll go for it. I don't know how he feels
about it. How about that angry, retarded guy from the The Harveys.
Who, Retardo Pete?
Retardo Pete.
You don't want him in here. He'll destroy the fucking room. He'll punch the cameras.
Would he?
Yeah, if we get him mad enough, he will. He's crazy.
But
his brother, oh, dude, you know what I found out?
Oh, his the homeless brother.
When we were in L.A., I got a message that Kramer died.
Died of what?
I don't know. I think overdose, maybe fentanyl or some shit.
Oh, shit.
That's actually a good question to ask someone. I'm very curious. That makes me sad. Like, even though, you know, I mean, it was Kramer, but, you know, he was part of the neighborhood. You'd see him asking for money. I can't believe one of the guys that we just talked about here, Kramer, that they've heard of so many times, died just weeks ago.
And no one is sad.
No one. I don't think Retardo Pete realizes.
I feel bad.
I feel bad.
I feel
but yeah, this guy was... So that's the wackiness of this guy. That was the CV story. That was the whole... the video story. Where,
I think we could get him on, though.
I'll try. Because he still... unless he's moved. But the last place he lived was where my buddy lives is like a triplex. And my buddy lives on the top. He lives all the way on the down in the garage. There was an apartment there. And that's where he lived.
Okay.
So he... Oh, and another thing. Every time he has to take a shit, he has to take off all his clothes. Like, full naked.
Oh, yeah, you talked about that guy before.
Yeah, so what happened is...
Oh, God damn.
If he was in a public restroom, it would be problematic if he really had to take a shit, because he would have to go naked. Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, and in his house, he's always naked walking around. Yeah, so one time I remember, because we were young, we were fucking assholes, we wanted to scare him in the middle of the night because we knew he was naked, and, like, make him have to get out of his house because of a fire or something so he could run out naked. And then I'm the one who stopped it towards the end. I go, I actually feel bad because he'll run out full naked in the winter. And I felt bad. I go, ah, that's dirty. Don't do that to the guy.
So how far did you get into the fire prank?
We were 20 seconds away from doing it.
Okay.
Everything was set up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we should, but you should reach out. Because the weirdos I know aren't that weird. I mean, like Jude or,
yeah, that's
know.
Not that weird. I'll reach out because I got nothing to lose. So I'll reach out. But I do feel bad because I had put him through a lot. When I think about it, because we know, like, when we make fun of each other, we fuck around, even Poseidon. Like, if you can handle it and you're fucking around, it doesn't go too deep.
Yeah.
But when you can't handle it, you're escalating without noticing.
Yeah.
Because let's say when the video came up at that birthday party, a normal person would have laughed and, like, I can't believe they made this video, and it would have laughed, and that's it. The fact that he ran out of the room, hid in a closet in the bathroom for like a fucking half
hour. You think he took all his clothes off? Man. Good thing he didn't have to take a shit. Yeah. The people were like, open the door, and he's
But what he didn't
naked.
Realize then is that people didn't see him as a weirdo in that party, even if, right, because he was part of the crew. Even when the video came on, they didn't see him as a weirdo. But when he ran away and did that, they're like, wait, I don't get what's happening. Yeah. Like, is he a weirdo?
He became a weirdo.
He became a weirdo, right? He took the joke to the next level.
Yeah.
But he never... He's the type of person, like most weirdos, they don't see that. They don't see that they're the cause of people seeing them in that light.
Yeah.
You know? Because it could have just been ribbing. Just like the video I made right before of my friend whose girlfriend's birthday was, or his birthday. I don't remember whose it was. But of that video montage together, right? He's like, look at this fucker. Look at what he's making me go through. But that's it. It ends there.
Mm.
You know? He's not panicking and running out of the fucking room. Like, oh, girls have cooties. You know? Yeah. He didn't do that shit.
Fuck. That's, yeah. There's something very sad about that.
Yeah,
because that's the type of thing you do when you're 11. Like, yeah, if you would have made fun of me when I was, and even at 11, I don't think I would have
reacted like
to
that?
The bathroom to hide. But you know, maybe,
you never know. Yeah,
maybe. But you know, when you hit your teens, you shouldn't do that. But when you're in your 30s, goddamn, life. You know, you almost hope that reincarnation exists so that you get a better, you know,
better shot at
the second one.
So I feel bad because we had grown up together, you know, in the same neighborhood and this and that. And I felt bad that it went to that, you know, like it went to the point where he was really sad and really depressed. And I felt like I didn't like the fact that he, you know what fueled me? The fact that he was always trying to guilt me. Instead of being like, look, fuck off, man. You know, instead of being like, look, don't.
And plus you're a little kid.
Yeah.
And he's a fucking grown ass man.
So the fact that he was trying to guilt me made me furious.
Yeah.
It did the opposite on me.
Yeah.
Because I feel bad for all kinds of... I'm very sentimental.
Yeah.
So I feel bad very easily. So when I see somebody trying to manipulate that, it fucking drives me insane. Same thing with Poseidon right now. Right? Poseidon, instead of coming on apologizing
but
to the
fans... Both of those are like bitch moves. Those are both moves that generally... Like, I've had girlfriends that have done that.
Yeah.
But never guy friends. Because you're not supposed... Like, you're not supposed to guilt your... guy friend.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you do guilt your guy friend, like, the proper reaction is just to go, well, you're not my friend anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You're too complicated.
It's too much for me. So I don't like that kind of behavior. The second I feel like someone's trying to manipulate me emotionally like that, it pisses me off. So that's what turned me off him. Like, I was like, ugh. Like, come on, man. Like, he's overdoing it.
What should turn you back on to him, though, is Radio Gold.
But I don't know how much he'll say on the radio. I can't wait till you see the video. You're going to freak the fuck out. You can see the video. You're going to be like,
oh. Are you going to air it at the end of the episode? We should put it up at the because you have the rights.
I don't have that contract anymore.
He signed a waiver.
He signed a waiver.
You shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, if it's behind the paywall, yeah, we'll probably put it.
Behind as the long paywall. As I have this it, guy, fuck it. If he's living naked in some fucking garage, he can't afford Compound Media. Even with the Canada 20 promo.
Yeah. He's going to need a Canada 100 promo.
He needs a Canada 150 promo so he can pay for internet so he can watch Compound Media.
That's sad. That's terrible. We're terrible human beings. Yeah, people. So you had different kinds of weirdos growing up.
I had I had one guy named Francis that he was my weirdo. And I used to, the thing I remember the most about him is when I met him, I used to really like boxing, but there wasn't a place where I could go box.
Except for his face?
So I had bought one pair of boxing gloves and I was like, let's just box, me and you. So I took the right glove and he took the left glove and I beat the fuck out of him because we were both right-handed. So, and I just beat the shit out of him. Every fucking day. He was a fucking
dummy. Poor,
yeah, he was a dummy. He was a very sad little man. He's the guy that he asked me to be his...
Oh, it's that guy.
He asked me to be...
The godfather?
The godfather to his kid, and I hadn't seen him in 20 years. I did a bit about him once on stage, and he came to me after, because I was talking about my loser friend that used to... Even if you fucking hadn't seen him in 10 years, would go, hey, man, you're my best friend. We should get an apartment together. He saw me do that bit. And then when I saw him, I was like, oh, what the fuck did I do? And he was like, you're really funny, man. Fuck, man. We should, you know, we don't see each other a lot, but you're still my best friend. He didn't say the apartment thing, but he said, you're still my best friend. And I was like, ah, Jesus, that's exactly what I just said on stage. And you didn't see it.
Where the fuck was I? You just reminded me of something. Oh, dude, did I tell you? You're going to fucking die. Oh, dude, you're going to fucking love this. So remember last month when I saw one of our... I was doing at a Saturday night. It was at a restaurant that they do comedy now. So they asked me to do it. And I hated the way the guy brought me up. You know how he brought me up? You know how the host brought me up? No credits. No 2-drink minimum. No just for laughs, nothing. This is what he said. He said, I know this guy for like 1,000 years. I've met this guy once. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that was my intro.
And so, that makes it look like this guy been doing comedy forever, never going to make it.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, 1,000 years? Like, what the fuck's talking about? So I go on stage. So the beginning was, it took some effort to get them into it, because like, who is this guy? If the people who didn't know me, but there's people there who had seen those fans that came out and shit like that. But listen to this. I started doing a bit. Because a lot of people think that my bits on stage, they're like, that can't be real life. You know. But when I'm talking about my life and stuff, I'm telling you, that's some real shit. So I don't know if you heard this bit when I talk about the guy who got randomly shot, but there was nothing about the shooting. Okay, so I say this bit. I'm off stage, and I'm talking with Sarah Quinn. And Sarah was there for this. So these two guys come up to me, and they're like, hey, that bit that you said. And I was like, yeah. Was it about X person? They said the guy's name. And I was like, yeah, how'd you know? They start laughing. They're like, oh my fucking God.
They're the ones that shot him?
No. They knew the story. They knew it was him. They're like, yeah, I remember when this guy got fucking shot. And I was crying so much because they're like, we know this fucking dipshit, you know? And they were like, I can't believe he's like the worst. He was doing the same thing to us. Like, he doesn't see the non-randomness of it. But he said it was even worse in real life because he keeps telling people it was a random shooting, he goes, and that they asked his name. But that's not the way it really went down. He goes, the way it went down is even funnier. A black guy came in, he goes, and started just going like this, pow, pow, like randomly shooting in the place and only shot one person, him. It's even funnier. And he's like, oh my God. He goes, I can't believe you said that story. He goes, we know who you're talking about. And then Sarah Quinn's like, I thought that was like a made up story. I was like, no, I'm telling you. That's why I bring it up on stage. It's so wacky. It's completely insane.
And plus to get shot in Montreal, there's no gun violence.
It's very rare. So they knew it was him.
Yeah.
But it was so funny. They're like, were you talking about, you know, X person? And they said his full name. I was like, how the fuck do you guys know? And they were crying. They were yelling like, oh my God, we know this retard.
What a fucking dummy.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
It, when that kind of shit happens, like off stage, I was like, fuck, man, that's the beauty of comedy.
Yeah.
That's something you would never expect.
Yeah, no.
Not in a million years.
I've had, changing subjects, but we talked a bit on the last show about Anthony's book that you had started reading it.
Yeah, I only read very, very little piece in the beginning after the introduction because I've been super busy. I want to know from you because I keep hearing mixed reviews.
I read the whole thing on the flight to Switzerland and then back. Amazing book. The only thing that was very fucking weird, I thought, was there's a whole article. You can tell I don't read books anymore because I call chapters articles. There's a very good piece.
There's three tracks in there.
Track seven. No sound. No, but there's a whole chapter about Artie. And at first I started reading it. I was like, oh, this is amazing. He's going to talk about Artie Lang and how weird it must have been, how much of a train wreck that was. And he was like, yeah, Artie had fucking demons and Artie's a fuck up, but he makes for great radio and this is the best. And I can't see myself doing a show without this guy. And I was like,
he is doing a show without him.
Yeah. And I was like, but isn't that shitty for Dave Landau? Because Dave definitely checked.
Whatever I do with Artie, whatever I do without Artie is going to be garbage. I'm letting you guys know this. If ever you see somebody else sitting here, I hate him.
But Dave, because I'm sure he did this, because whenever one of your friends writes a book, especially like something like that, Dave for sure had to check the last chapter to see if he talked about him. But the last chapter was about Artie. But then I was thinking, why didn't anyone at, I don't know who the publishers are, but why didn't someone go like, hey, we should just, you don't even have to change that chapter, just pick remove it.
Yeah.
Like, even if in the book he never talks about Artie Lang.
It doesn't matter.
So that was the only weird thing. Like, the book, everything's, it's a really good book. And it's a fun read. And it's the type of book that you read, like, straight through. It's not like, there's some books that you read and you're like, oh, I like this person, but it's not well written. The book's super well written, super interesting. It's fun to see Anthony's life when he was younger and all of the O&A shit. But that chapter was just, I was like, this is fucking weird. Like,
we should ask him when we get down there.
I hope that when he did the audiobook, he was like, I'm not going to read that chapter.
I wonder if it's on the audiobook because he recorded that late. It depends. When do you think he recorded that? You think he recorded it while Artie was still there and then he kept it?
Artie hasn't been there in like 7 months. And the book came out last week. So
they had time is what you're saying.
They were even like, there were a bunch of pre-orders, but they only started
printing
like a month ago. So they had like 6 months to get rid of this chapter.
Does it talk a lot about Opie?
It does, yeah. And the thing that surprised me, and
he wasn't shitting on him.
He wasn't shitting on him at all, and he was really nice. There were some parts that it wasn't that nice, but he never shit on him.
You know what? I've noticed that a lot of the shitting happens mostly because of internet trolls, not even fans. When Opie started opening this can of worms a few months ago online, it all started from somebody saying, "Hey, did you hear what Jim and Sam said?" And they wrote something that wasn't what they said. And then he said something stupid online. But he wouldn't listen to the audio clip. So he just kept going off what people were saying. And then that would piss off Jim and Sam. And then they would say something. Yeah. And then that's how it all escalated, right? So I've said this before. I'm not saying they're all going to work together again. But if you can get them in the same room to actually talk about shit, they can at least be civil.
Yeah.
I'm 100% sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But they'll never work together again because the way it evolved, especially with Norton, I don't think Norton could work with Opie again.
No. No, neither do I. Neither do I. And plus, since they're like, I think they'd make more money if they were all three together.
For sure, yeah.
But like, Anthony's making good money and Jim is making good money.
Yeah.
So they don't need Opie. Yeah, they never really did, but they needed a guy like Opie.
Yeah.
And so I think, though, right now, like, the difference in money Anthony's making now with what he'd make with Opie, I don't think it's worth it for him.
Yeah, it can't be that significant, but brand-wise, it could be big.
It could be huge, yeah. If O&A got back together, Compound Media would just explode.
Yeah.
But, like, Anthony doesn't have any kids, and he's like, how old is he? He gets to keep his money,
yeah.
He's like 58, 57.
He gets to keep his money, yeah.
So he doesn't need another $20 million. just with the money he has now, he can live his whole fucking life.
Yeah.
So it was really good, though. I liked the book.
Yeah, I'm going to continue reading over the holidays, especially.
I was disappointed, though, with that chapter. Like, I'd almost, like, I don't know.
And that's the last one?
You should. No, it's the second to last one, but you should almost skip that chapter.
Okay.
Because it brings nothing. It brings nothing.
And the last chapter is about what? Up to date?
Yeah. Yeah. There's.
Talk about Lando?
No, Lando. There's no one from Compound Media in the book.
Whoa. You telling me he doesn't talk about me?
He doesn't talk about
you. He doesn't talk about me in the book that he finished writing before he met me?
No, he
what
doesn't.
What a fucking piece
of garbage.
What a piece of garbage.
What a motherfucker. You should text him tonight. You motherfucker.
I don't even know you. What do you want me to say? You fucking buffoon. What am I going to say?
It is good, though.
Yeah, they talk about Norton a lot.
He does, yeah. And there are good stories. Like, most of the stories...
You knew?
I knew, but they're kind of, you know... they're good to hear again, and there's a lot... Like, different angles to the way I'd heard the stories.
Interesting.
Yeah, like, the best story, I thought, was the whole the black hooker in Times Square.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
It's fun having, because you'd only heard that story like the day after and then people talking about it. But it's good having someone like 3 years later explain what happened. And he explains it in a way that, you know, like, because he was drunk. So you, like, it's a good story.
Because you really know you're going to say some crazy shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really good story. And it was fun. I like the stories about him in rehab, too, when he went to rehab. Since he doesn't have, like...
An actual problem.
There's something very interesting about that.
Just the way he sees it?
Yeah, and plus, like, them telling him, like, the first couple of days he went to rehab. Because remember when Swartzen told us that he was quitting drinking for a while?
Yeah.
He had to sort of wean off the alcohol, because when you're a real alcoholic, you start fucking shaking and hallucinating and shit. But so Anthony, when he went to rehab, he hadn't had a drink in 4 days. And then they were like, look, you're going to get fucked up if you don't drink. So they were giving him pills that getting him all dizzy.
That's so fucking weird. He didn't even need those.
He didn't even need those. But I guess you have to.
Yeah, because they don't know.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Whenever I see people go to rehab because of drinking, I'm always like, the people on fucking heroin probably judge the fuck out of these people. Like, go, look, man, I ruined my life. You were doing drugs. I was drinking like fucking 6 beers a night. Yeah, okay. Like,
pussy.
Yeah.
I've been injecting my ball sack.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's that really good scene from the movie with Dave Chappelle, Half Baked.
Oh, yeah, that was a good movie.
When they're in N.A., and Bob Saget is like, I suck dick for coke.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember, have you sucked dick for coke?
Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And I think, what's his name was on? John Stewart was in that scene.
Oh, was he?
Or he was in that movie, I remember. He was looking for weed.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
He was a paranoid fuck.
Yeah, John Stewart used to be a weed guy.
Yeah.
And he used to be, there's something, that's what's fucked up about comics when they become like either left wing or right wing. They always change.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Speaking of change. So you're gonna have you're gonna go down to South Africa?
Yeah, when I did the festival in Switzerland, it was very weird because I was booked for 2 shows. One of them was a warm up show, and they had told me they were like, "You don't have to do the warm up show if you don't want." But I was like, "No, I'm gonna go do it." So we went to this bar. It was an expats bar, and it was just the worst fucking place in the world. And I was watching there was a stage and there was a table on the stage. And the comics were always getting on the table to yell at people so they'd listen. And the one guy I did know that was there was a Swedish guy that was on the show, a guy named Thomas Wiesel. He's super funny. He told me, he was like, I'm not going to do that show because he goes, the only English people in that city are my friends. So they're gonna see me bomb. They're gonna judge me. So fuck it. I'm not going. But I was like, no, I'll go anyway. And then the show was just the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Did you do it?
No. But like halfway through, I was like, no, I'm gonna do it. I'm a team player. But then I was like, fuck it. I've been doing comedy for too long to go backwards. This. So I was like, I just told the guy, I was like, fuck it, I'm not going on. And then it was weird though, because he had put me on last, because he saw me as like the headliner of the whatever show. And then when we did it in the big theater, because it's a 1,800 seater, okay, so it's a big thing. And then I wasn't closing that show because he didn't see what I was going to do. I was in the middle. And it was a fun show. Very weird crowd, though, because there are people from, like, all over the world. So I got it was fucked up because I got on stage and there was, like, a third of the audience gave me a standing ovation on my way in.
Oh, wow.
But I think it was because of Canada.
A lot of Canadians?
Like, it was a very stupid crowd that this next guy is from Canada. I'm from Canada.
Okay,
of those fucking people. Because then, like, my first joke, there's a language. Switzerland has four languages. They have the official languages. They have French, they have German, they have Italian, and they have Romance. And I was like, Romance, and I did a stupid joke. I was like, Romance isn't a language, it's a speech impediment. It sounds like, hey, you were very romantic. I'm going to shuck your penis. And so I did that joke,
Romance.
Got nothing. Nothing, not even a laugh. And then I was like, okay. So then I started doing my thing, and it went well. But all the people that had given me the standing O on the way in, I could tell that those were the people that liked me the least.
So it was expecting something else.
Yeah, they were expecting, because when you hear Canada, you expect like a Care Bear to come out and go like, hey, we're all the same and we're the best.
So dumb. You know?
So, but it was fun. So I did my thing and it was really dark. And then I ended, and then I was like, my light, I hadn't got the light yet. So I was like, oh, I'm going to do another bit. And I knew this bit wouldn't work. I did my retard bit. I knew it wouldn't work, and I closed with that.
It's a great bit, though.
And I always love doing that. Whenever I'm in a country that I feel that the people don't like my comedy, I always close with a bit that I know my last joke isn't going to hit. And then I just took a pause, and I've done this a million times. I go, look, you know when you're a comic, you're supposed to end on your best joke? All right, Fox. And then I just leave. Like, I like leaving having people go,
what just happened?
So I did that, and then I thought they were going to go like, what was that? But the guy running the show, the South African guy, he was like, fucking people in South Africa would love you. And then he started talking about how people in South Africa would love me. And then I started talking about, like, with him, because the South African comics are really good. Like, Trevor Noah is the shittiest South African comic there is, but most of them are really good. And I think it's because when you have a shitty life, you need to
laugh,
find funny.
Yeah.
So they like, and apartheid isn't very old. Like, so they've
been through some shit.
Yeah. This is like watching a Jewish comic in like 1957, basically. Yeah. And then, so we were talking about American comics, how in the old days, all the greats were like black or Jewish. And then, so he was like, he wants me to go down to, he was like, we'll build a show around you.
Oh, fuck. That's
so I was
amazing.
Like, oh, this is cool. Yeah. He was talking about Jason Rouse. He did that for Jason Rouse a couple years ago. It's a Canadian comic that I very, very nice guy and very dark. And he was like, Jason Rouse is a fucking god in South Africa. So I was like, oh, this is cool.
Is there money to be made in South Africa?
There's South African money.
But I mean, real dollars.
I think if you're white, no, because I think there's been too much, like, white people have been really shitty to all the black people there. So I can't, like, I think you can go there, sell out like one or two nights, but I don't think they'd accept a white man touring.
I'm a Greek man.
Yeah. But for them, you're white. You'd have to get the black face.
Yeah, I think that'll help.
Yeah.
What is he doing? I'm social lubricant. I'm trying to ease us into this.
I think, though, they but for them, there is no difference between, like, a Jewish man, a Greek man, or
because they're a
white
bunch of racists. They just see everything as the same.
Yeah.
They're treating me like I'm one of those yellows.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny. You fucking racist. You're treating me like a yellow.
Yeah.
Like a goddamn yellow. Like a yellow. We should bring that term back.
Yellow?
Yellow. But that's never been really a term.
We
could
make
it
a term.
Hey, fucking, hey, yellow, come over here.
Well, me, what I say, and it pisses one of the guys here off, the guy who replaced Poseidon, I call him Yip Yip. Okay, Yip Yip, let's go.
And he gets insulted by that?
Yeah.
Does he? What is he? He's Chinese or Korean? Okay. There's one thing I started doing, and this really worked well in Switzerland, but I always call every, because I have a thing about, I saw a Chinese guy speaking Haitian Creole once.
Yeah.
And but now I go, he spoke a bunch of Chinese languages, and then I name any Asian language and just call it Chinese. I'm like he spoke Korean, which is Chinese. Yeah. Vietnamese, which is another Chinese.
That's amazing. I remember that bit. That was the Chinese people have no business learning speaking Creole.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. That worked bit. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good bit.
But it was weird though. That show, the show I did there, because the like whenever you go to a country that they're not used to stand up, they like especially a show like that. It was a very multicultural show. So jokes are like French people are like this and Swiss are like this. Those kill. But real jokes, like some of them kill and some not at all. So it was very weird. So I'd do a joke and there'd be – and Swiss people like to clap. They don't – so I'd get a – I'd do a joke and then get – I wouldn't even get a laugh, get an applause break, then do another joke, get a huge laugh, then do another joke, nothing. And I wouldn't lose the crowd. So it'd be weird because I'd be like, fuck, I got an applause break. Fucking killer laugh, applause break. These people love, okay, nothing. All right.
It's some of the stuff goes over their heads. Now I've learned to judge crowds early on by level of intelligence based on, you heard my sweatshop joke, the iPhone joke?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So now I know that when I leave it open right before the punchline of that, and if they don't laugh, if it's quiet and they're like, what does that mean? Who's making iPhones? I don't get it. The second that happens, I'm like, oh, okay, I got to use a lot of dick jokes in this set because regular, like I have to use trigger words like fuck, shit, cock, all that to get them to laugh because any type of thinking is not going to happen. Like if they can't equate the iPhone thing, which is the simplest, to me it's so simple, then I know I'm in trouble. So I got to go, I got to dumb it down. But what's weird is sometimes it's half like, ah, and the other half you see in their face like this, like I want to get it. How come I don't get it? I'm like, oh, fuck, if that went over your head,
yeah,
this is going to be a problem.
Like, it was weird, though, because there was one of the comics, the British guy, his last name is, I think his name is Tom Houghton. He's a really funny comic from England, and he actually even fucking killed in that shit room, like on the table. And so I was like, this guy's going to fucking murder in this theater. And he went over, like, really weird. Like, there were a lot of the... Like, all of the comics, whenever I was like, this guy's going to kill, they wouldn't. And when I was like, oh, this is going to be garbage, they'd kill.
Because the garbage is what... It was the simplistic thing.
Yeah. And what was sad, though, is then after when people were talking to me, they're like, oh, you were the best on the show. And I was like, oh, that means I'm garbage.
You were the easiest one to get. All your moo-moo fart jokes were great.
I think, though, it was easy for them to understand since I speak French and English, which is like two languages they speak. And the Canadian accent is easier to get than like the South African accent.
Oh, yeah, the South African is horrible.
Yeah. I meant the thing that really surprised me, like after the show, every time a hot blonde had come see me.
She was South African?
They were South African. And then, but then I
how hot are we talking about?
Like LA nines.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like real hot. Like real hot. But they were all, like I think when apartheid happened, all of the whites just were like, where do we go? Fucking who accepts anyone?
Switzerland.
Yeah. Let's go hide with the pedophiles.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah. But, and they were all like, they'd come to see me. And that's what I liked about the guy from the festival in South Africa. Cause he, like, people would start talking to me. And then I'd be like, okay, you should go over there. Cause this is about to get racist. You could always feel when it was about to get racist. Cause they'd be like, and then I fucking like you. Cause in my country. And then as soon as someone says, I like you because in my country, you're like, okay, we got to get the black people.
We got to get them out of here.
They're not going to like this. Out of earshot because they're not going to like this.
Oh, wow. That's fucking hilarious.
But they, yeah, so they were super, super hot. But they all seemed like rich little cunts.
Racist cunts.
Yeah, rich little racist cunts. Whereas the black guy running the thing was amazing.
Super cool.
Super nice guy.
Oh shit! Does Very he only nice does he only run shit in Switzerland and South Africa?
He's doing right now. He's doing. At first, he was just doing that one festival in South Africa and managing a bunch of comics in South Africa, and now the guy from Montreux, because the Montreux comedy festival that I did their festival, they have one in the Arab Emirates, or they have two. They have one in Dubai and Abu Dhabi.
I won't do those.
And they shit rooms, but they want to build it, make it worldwide in all of these countries that you'd never think of going. So they did. They have a festival in, I think, Korea. So they do Korea, the Arab Emirates. They have South Africa, and they're probably going to go with a couple of other African countries. So those, it's fun if you want to travel, right? Because you're never. When else are you gonna go to Korea?
I don't want to go to Korea. I'll go those kind of places. I'll only go if the paycheck is good, or if like I'm going with a friend. Like let's say we're going down together because it's a good story to tell. But I wouldn't go down there for like a mediocre check just to do a couple of shows to do them. Yeah. Korea, I wouldn't care.
But the checks are always gonna be shit.
So then unless you're going and we're having fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go. It would be like, oh, Patels, we'll pay you fucking $200. Come down to Korea. I would be like, yeah, there's no chance.
One thing that happened when I was in Switzerland that I thought was real funny. When I was in China like 2 years ago, I just tweeted out as a joke, I've become a huge star in China. And then the Quebec media picked up on it. So then there was I told a guy from Switzerland that. And he kept on tweeting, Mike Ward is the biggest star in Switzerland right now.
And they picked it up?
And whenever they take pictures of me, there was one blog picked it up, not a real paper. But I'd always do the same pose as Freddie Mercury.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I fucking love Freddie Mercury. So whenever he'd take my picture, I'd just be drinking beer just with my hand up.
When you sent me the Freddie Mercury picture, I was dying about it, especially after the joke on Rogan that everybody seemed to love.
Everyone did except for Joe.
Yeah. Well, he didn't want any comedy on that episode.
No, yeah, yeah.
He was not interesting. He was not interested in any funny.
Yeah, yeah. He was a Swiss crowd.
Yeah, he was taking everything very seriously.
Yeah.
Even with me, yeah. He's like, no. He's, no.
Yeah, he was giving us an applause break, so but yeah, never a laugh.
That's what it was.
Did you see the episode he did with Anthony Cumia? I was thinking about you, and I was like, oh, fuck, if Pantel sees this, he's going to be pissed.
Yeah, he didn't mention me at all. He just said Mike Ward
show. The Mike Ward show.
Yeah, yeah.
The Mike Ward show.
But I knew he didn't like me. Like, he made it pretty clear that he doesn't like me for no reason.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Do you think, though, he doesn't like you or just...
Oh, I know he doesn't. You saw before we even got on air. His attitude made it pretty clear. Nah. That's fine. You're not going to get along with everyone.
I think, though, it was weird. I don't think he doesn't... he's the type of guy, I think, if he doesn't know you...
He doesn't like you.
He doesn't like
you.
Yeah,
which is fine, too, but it's like, you know, we're there. We're near. It's not like we're... It's not like I was...
some weird stalker.
Or threatening him or anything. Yeah. Like, I was like, hey, fuck you, bro. I was super nice to him when I first saw him. I was happy to see him. So you didn't need to be, cold with me and shit like that, but whatever. It was some miscommunication, I guess. It happens. But yeah, the Mike Ward show, I heard him say that. I was like, what the fuck, man? Is he doing this? Because it was written in front of him. It had the title of the show, everything.
Yeah.
And he was still like, yeah, the Mike Ward show. So I was like, is he trying to fuck around? Is he throwing some shit?
He's just fucking with you.
He's just fucking with me. That's fine. That's fine.
Anthony was real good, though.
Anthony was a great guest.
Yeah.
And Well, you know why? Because he let Anthony, as opposed to us, he let Anthony speak.
Yeah. But then again, like, he's known Anthony for 20 years, and Anthony inspired him to do the Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah.
Whereas just I'm some fucking guy that got sued by my government. That's how he knows me.
And
he
I'm
knows
just some
you
random guy.
Because you're my friend.
Yeah,
so,
that's it. That's all he knew. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the one guy that I don't know if he's funny that I've kind of heard of, and that's his friend. So I'm going to let them speak to 100 million people.
That's amazing when you say
that. Yeah. I think that's the only reason. I think, like, in 5 years, he's going to love you.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Unless I'm in jail for some crime, fucking with a retard too much.
Yeah. So we got to get your friend, the...
I'm gonna try and get him on right now. I'm focusing on what's going to happen in the new year with... Because I'm waiting to get a fucking tape, because I got to get some tapes out. So I could go collect money from other clubs, like what you told me.
Around
that's what I'm doing around the country. I'm not accepting. Yeah. And you were right, by the way. I don't know if I told you. So Mike was telling me when we got back from LA, don't be stupid. In Montreal, do whatever you want. But any other gig outside of the city in Canada, you only take headlining spots. You know, you try to take the door to make as much money as possible. So then I was like, oh, why would I just jump to that? And he was explaining to me the credit, like Joe Rogan.
Yeah, Joe Rogan.
Just for laugh. Like, all together, they're good credits, yeah. Jim and Sam.
Joe Rogan, Jim and Sam, Bennington. Plus, we're Canadian. Like, even for Americans. Yeah. Like, your credits are good enough to headline any shit club in America.
Yeah.
Like, you can't headline, like, maybe, you know, Caroline's.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
But you can headline the fucking, the Laugh Stop. Or,
yeah,
or,
exactly.
You know, even like the, like any club in Orlando or, you know, the B cities.
The B cities. So, yeah. So when he said that, I took a look. He's like, no, they don't have good credits here. So I took a look at another, I'm not going to say the city because I feel bad for the upcoming comics, but I saw it. And
Ottawa?
Yeah. So I saw their next comics that are going up in the next couple weeks.
We've seen this guy on comedy at Club 54.
Exact stuff like that.
A&E's
evening
at the Improv.
Yeah, yeah. No, not even. It's like, you've seen this guy on the De Beers, or you've seen this guy on local public access and stuff. And I was like, oh really? Shit.
And that's
like,
a headline?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, shit, I could demand a paycheck. Like, yeah. It's crazy.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I love too how, this is a very, like, especially Canada, since we're like, we have this small town mentality. As soon as you have any credit from the States, it beats any Canadian thing.
Yeah. So, what I want to do in the new year is run around collecting some cash.
You want to be the big white Kevin Hart of Canada.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I want to be a cat burglar. Just go collect. I think we could make more bank if we do a 2-drink minimum tour.
Yeah.
And we both go out. I think we'll make more than...
I think the best, though, would be Comedians at the Compound tour.
If they want to come up, that would be fucking insane. Yeah, you know. If it's me, you, Gino, Aaron, who else would come?
We need to get Dave Landau.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about Dave. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if Anthony presented it.
Yeah.
We after reading Anthony's book, if we could get Artie, because he...
Artie sounds great. Yeah, actually, I think we would have to charge... It depends actually on the venue size. Yeah. Because, I mean, we have to pay everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no one's going to want to fly out to Winnipeg for, you know...
For $40.
$400.
Yeah, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying, is if we do the Comedians of the Compound, but I know that if we do 2-drink minimum, and then we could also do different cities, and then bring on different people in different cities.
Yeah.
That's doable.
Like, the shows that the guys do around New York, they call it Comedians of the Compound, but it's just, it's always Kevin Brennan and Gino and Aaron.
Oh, yeah, sure. There's no Landau either. It's just those three.
Yeah.
So us, we could do that in different cities. Like, we'll have Landau in Winnipeg and Aaron in Toronto and Gino. That would be fucking crazy. Because then everybody gets to make their money. We don't bring people up to fuck them over. And all across Canada, they get to see some actual good comedy.
Yeah. I want to see, though, how we'd almost have to test it to do, like, one show, a 2-drink minimum show, one show, Comedians of the Compound, to see, like... If
there's
it changes
selling.
Anything.
You know what I'm wondering? Because I saw, I didn't realize how many people are doing it. I know that you do your French podcast from your club all the time, but you don't tour with it much.
No.
Right? I noticed that all kinds of podcasts, now even podcasts that are ranked lower than us, are doing podcasting tours in different cities.
It's because the rooms, like the reason why I don't tour with the French one, it's since my club is like perfect for the podcast.
Yeah.
Whenever we had done
the quality
a couple of shows.
Shit.
And they became shit. So I told my manager, I was like, I won't even leave my club under this amount. And I want $5,000 just for me. And then they have to pay the other comics.
Oh, that's
just
hilarious.
To leave the club. So that's why I don't do it that much, because I ask for way too much
money. On purpose,
because I don't want to fucking... plus, because I make my money with Patreon, with the podcast anyway. So there's no incentive. But I think... Yeah, if we did a show and then a live podcast after, that could be good.
Because I don't know what we're going to do. We still haven't thought about our duties in Aspen. Because Aspen is 2-drink minimum live.
Yeah.
So we're hilarious because it's coming up.
It's coming up soon. And then you're the one that made me realize every other comic on that fucking festival is super left-leaning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it almost feels like it's a hidden camera show.
Yeah.
To let's fuck these right-wing guys.
Because that's what it seems like. Because I looked at the lineup. I was like, do they know what we do? Yeah.
I think there's who is it? There's
Kathleen Madigan is on there. Birbiglia is on there. Joe Coy, I think, would
Joe
be the
Coy
closest.
Joe Coy, we could get on because when I had my court thing, he was doing a bunch of media to defend me.
Yeah, so Joe Coy, I think we
get. We could get him, and I think he'd be good. He'd be good.
I've seen him on Jim and Sam. He's very fun.
And then who else? There's a chick from New York that I know. I keep fucking forgetting her name. And so I don't think she'd do it since I keep forgetting her name. But we'll have to check to see who we know.
Yeah, and we'll reach out, get them on the show.
Or we could reach out the local Special Olympics and just
get a Rattar.
Yeah, get that'd be
our guest today. And everybody's like, "Who the fuck?"
The Aspen Comedy Festival proudly presents
Bobo.
Yeah, get all these fucking. But those are the best guests, though.
Imagine if we go and it's like, "You're an old gym," and it's a guy who just like, "I just drink from the urinal."
Because we're going to be doing, we recorded a bunch of shows this summer just for laughs. And that's what we're talking about during the holidays. Since everyone at Compound Media takes a bit of time off, we want to keep putting shows out. But
we might put those out.
We don't want to put out shows if no one's fucking listening. So we should put those shows out that we did from Just for Laughs this summer that they're not really two drink minimum.
Yeah, they don't feel like it. It feels more like
we're working for PBS.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go meet comedians.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. We gave it that feel.
Well, Josh Blue kind of felt.
Yeah, because he was part of our crew.
Yeah, because he so it was fun and light.
Yeah, with him.
Yeah.
But he's the only one. So, yeah, we have that coming up. We'll share those during the holidays. You'll get the Just for Laughs tapes, the last ones that we haven't aired, which are two of them.
We have two of them. We have Josh Blue and we have Alonzo Bowden. Mm-hmm. Alonzo, very funny comic.
Smart as fuck.
Not the best podcast guest.
No, but he's very, very,
very
smart.
Very, very smart.
And he's black, I found out.
Yeah.
I found out recently. Yes,
really?
So no, it's. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be good. And as for whoever wants to see us live in their city, let us know. Like, would you watch a two drink minimum live at your local comedy club, or do you just want Comedians of the Compound or me and Mike or something like that doing stand up? You could tweet us.
And would you rather a club or a theater?
A theater.
We're asking too many questions for Twitter.
Yeah.
Hello, Alan from Wisconsin. I prefer a theater, and we'll be like, who the fuck is this weirdo? Because we're not even going to remember we asked that. I'm some fucking loser from Wisconsin.
You said he prefers theaters. What the fuck does that even mean?
So we just answer back, fag. Yeah. I prefer theaters. Go watch a play, fag.
Yeah, I prefer women, homo. Just being rude for no reason. I like it. So yeah, let us know. Remember, if your friends are not subscribed, tell them about Canada 20, the best fucking promo code. That's 20% off. Also, if you want to support the show and you're wondering how else can I support it, go to iTunes, subscribe, leave a 5-star review. Put 5 stars, put whatever you want. Like recently,
and I love that people have been doing.
I'm not a Malacca. I saw that recently. 5 stars, write whatever you want.
One of them was, "I love the show. Jeep it up. Goddamn autocorrect."
he was taking a shit. Yeah, the guy said I'm taking a shit. Yeah, there's some funny ones. So leave whatever you want. We'll talk about it.
Because we're in the top 20 in Canada. And if we hit the, I don't know where we are in America.
I have no clue.
But if we hit the, and don't, like, if we're not in the top 100, don't tell us. We don't need to feel your pain. But if we hit the top 20 in the U.S., get screen grabs.
Yeah,
and send them.
And we can only get there if everybody actually subscribes, puts 5 stars, and leaves comments. Because that's the way they fucking, I don't know, it has nothing to do with plays.
It's stupid. And we're also on SoundCloud. So we're on SoundCloud. We're
Spotify.
On iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all audio. We're video on YouTube.
Yeah, it's true. The YouTube clips.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot. We're trying our best to grow this new studio in the works. Yeah.
We should do, you know how Crowder has the mug club?
Yeah.
Since we're Canadian, we should suck club.
What the suck?
Since Justin Trudeau always has those fucking faggy socks.
Oh, sock. I thought you said suck.
No, yeah, sock.
Sock club.
The sock club.
And we sell gay ass socks.
And we sell gay ass socks. So it's just socks of famous Canadian celebrities sucking each other's dicks. So you
I
got
like the
Brian,
sound of that, sir.
Brian Adams fucking titty fucking the guy from Rush.
Brian Mulroney getting blown by Justin.
Yeah. You get Justin Trudeau fucking Brian Mulroney's weird face.
Yeah. And you fucking his wife.
Yeah. We should get someone to do that. I don't think they'd be that expensive.
I don't think so either, but I don't know who's going to buy socks.
I don't know. Especially socks with homosexual men from Canada. How do you explain that to your friends? Oh, it's not homophobic.
You don't get how fucking good the show is.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think it's that good, though.
Are you gay? I'm not gay. I'm just making fun of facts. Are we still allowed doing that? Shut up, in Canada.
Are you gay? I'm not gay. I'm not gay. I'm a real big fan. I love this show. What show would that be? It's called Two Dicks Minimum.
Two Dick Minimum.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's how Trudeau spends his holidays.
Yeah.
There's a two dick minimum in his mouth. We can get in trouble for that now. You know that? With Trudeau?
Because
we don't have free speech. Yeah, we can't really talk shit about the government.
We can't. No, but...
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I even tweet it.
So what are they going to do?
I don't know.
They can't do anything.
Send me to the Human Rights Tribunal.
Yeah.
Charge me 120 Gs.
Since I have my tour bus, I don't have any fear left. Because I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to empty out all my bank accounts, put the money in the tour bus,
and leave.
And just drive down to the States. And then they'll be like, you can't come here, sir. And I'll be, God damn it. I'm stuck. I got to fly to Switzerland.
Oh, very, very cool. All right. Well, that's all you're going to get this week. But remember, people, tell your friends about the iTunes. Don't forget our merch shop. So people, you know what I don't like is when people say, where the fuck did you get that shirt? How do I get it? It's in all the descriptions in our iTunes stuff. It's in the YouTube fucking comments.
Every tweet that Jason puts out
has it. It's our fucking Teespring.com/store/2DM merch shop. You get yourself sweaters,
T-E-E Spring.
Yeah. Teespring.com/stores/2DM. But you don't even need to remember that. Just any fucking tweet we have, just go click on the fucking description. And also, don't forget, because sometimes you guys forget this, your weekend only officially starts now.